It's not every day you have the opportunity to impact a nation, but it happened to me last Thursday in Peru.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, there are a few surprises for me today. First, driving up to the driving up to our radio offices, our studio, our ministry offices, I certainly did not expect to be driving up in sleeting weather. Come on, it's March 17th. We've had 70-degree weather where I live and sleeting weather. The next surprise was to walk into the office and to be greeted by many of our dear team members, ministry staff, singing me happy birthday with my office decorated and with a delicious chocolate cake, sinfully chocolate it was called, waiting on my desk in memory and celebration of my birthday yesterday. 59, feeling great to be 59 on the air with you. A whole lot of things to talk about that I believe will edify you, stir you, challenge you, and encourage you as well as inform you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you were listening to the Friday broadcast, I played a repeat broadcast from slightly over a year ago. It was a year and 2 days ago. I played a broadcast from my departed brother and friend, Steve Hill, where we talked about his book, Spiritual Avalanche. I thought it was an important interview to play. And my plans had been changed. I was flying back from Peru through the night. Originally was going to be doing a live broadcast, but had to fly into Pensacola, Florida, to speak at the memorial service for Steve Hill. Later in the broadcast, I'm going to play for you my 10-minute address at this event. If you haven't seen it, we'll put up a link later on our Facebook page. But if you just go to YouTube and search for Steve Hill Memorial Service, you need to watch it. You need to see Steve Hill's wife, Jerry, a widow now, for 5 days when she gets up. Her husband, after a six-year battle with cancer, went to be with the Lord on a week ago Sunday. She gets up full of faith, full of hope, full of courage. How does someone stand like that? How does a newly widowed woman who dearly loved her husband, married over 30 years, how does someone like that stand up and speak faith and speak hope? It's because of the grace of God. It is because of the grace of God and the knowledge that she will see her dear husband again. I'm going to play a clip from that later on. But if you do have anything you want to ask me, because I was not able to take live calls on Friday, if you want to ask me any question, biblical, theological, ministry, controversial, something personal you've been wanting to ask and find out, your life or mine, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It does not have to be on topic of anything that we are talking about. Now, there's some interesting issues surrounding St. Patrick's Day. I'm going to talk to you about that today, as well as give you the update on my trip to Peru last week. And I'm going to play a few clips from that when we come back in the next segment. I had an extraordinary and rare opportunity to sit with congressional leaders, all of whom lead their own subcommittees within the Peruvian Congress, as well as to address university chancellors at the Harvards and Yales of Peru, and to speak to them candidly and compassionately about the consequences of homosexual activism. It was quite a sight sitting there in Peruvian congressional halls with leaders being given copies of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, as I got up to deliver a 45-minute address. Not every day you get to sow seeds that can potentially impact a nation. I'll be right back with clips from Peru.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Boy, I have been so eager to be back with all of you. Because of my trip to Peru last night, we had to pre-record some shows. And then we did one special program where we took you into my presentation at University of South Florida as Israel and Evil Occupier, and then replayed the interview I did with my dear friend, my departed brother, Steve Hill. I'm going to play a clip from Steve later. It's really hysterical. It caught us all off guard. It was towards the beginning of the memorial service. And it'll tie in with my comments that I'll play later in the broadcast. But as I said a moment ago, if you've got questions about anything, anything you want to ask me about, talk to me about, disagree with me about, the phone lines are wide open today, 866-34-TRUTH. What we normally do on Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers, but even more broadly, you can even ask me about things outside of my areas of expertise. For I don't know why you'd want to, but you can. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I take you into the memorial service, I believe the comments that I made will encourage you and stir you. Before we get to those, before I talk to you about St. Patrick's Day Parade, I want to tell you first what happened in Peru. And before I do that, tomorrow, no hype, in all seriousness, I have a very important announcement to make that will affect many of you directly as listeners. A very, very important announcement to make. If you miss it, you can always listen later on my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. If you subscribe by podcast, you'll automatically get it. But do what you can to tune in. It'll be right about this time tomorrow, and then I'll be repeating it in different form through 2 hours of broadcasting. But the most important announcement we've made have to make in about 6 years of daily radio. Okay, I got contacted by a gentleman that I did not know through a colleague of mine who for many, many years has had a vision to see God's people rise up in society and make a difference. When this friend of mine was doing campus ministry, the leaders of the Christian group that he headed up often became the campus presidents. And he believes in touching international students. They get touched by the gospel when they're over here in America. They go back often as leaders in their nation. So one of the brothers that he has worked with for many years was a missionary in the country of Peru. Peru is in South America. It is the western part of South America. Excuse me, it has a population of almost 30.5 million. It has a lot of ancient people groups in them. So the Hispanic people groups are later comers. Of course, that would be the case in all of Latin America. But there's a very, very strong, thriving native population that is a large percentage. You can just see wherever you go, the native population look and bloodline. Well, it's a largely Catholic country, in many ways conservative, but like every other nation today around the world, or most nations around the world, they're facing many changes in family and lifestyle and cultural values and morals. And in the Peruvian constitution, their first value laid out is pro-life. So it is a country against abortion. It is a country that has historically stood strong and clear for marriage as God intended it in terms of the union of one man and one woman. Recently, through the media, through various activist groups, through different business people, etc., there has been a push to legalize same-sex civil unions. There has been a push to redefine marriage. And the brother that I am working with there, that again was a friend of mine, he called me a few months ago and said, listen, there's an opportunity to address Congress on the issues of homosexual activism. And I was referred to you as the best person to do it. We were able to work out a date I would be there March 13th, be able to fly back through the night, through the morning, and arrive back for our anniversary, our 38th anniversary, to my wonderful, beautiful bride, the greatest gift in this world God's ever given me, Nancy, for our 38th anniversary on Friday. Little did we know we'd end up celebrating our anniversary mourning for and celebrating the memory of our friend Steve Hill in Pensacola, Florida. So I flew down there Wednesday, and then Thursday morning, I sat on a dais with five congressional leaders. So these are congressmen, congresswomen from Peru, all of whom head up their own subcommittees. Probably 150 to 200 people in attendance in one of the halls of Congress, not the main congressional meeting hall. We went in there afterwards and we're in a balcony and were asked to stand and were acknowledged. Our presence was acknowledged to applause or whatever. They wanted us to do that part, but spoke to these congressional leaders, other leaders, national leaders that were there, and then the chancellors of many, if not most, if not all, of the elite universities in the nation. They were there. And I gave the overview of transformation that's happened in our culture through the 60s. And then I talked about, in particular, the sexual revolution. And then in that context began to talk about the consequences of homosexual activism, making very plain that my purpose there was not to demonize anyone. My purpose there was not to incite hatred. My purpose there was not to look for anyone to be prosecuted or persecuted, but rather to simply ask the question, what happens when we redefine marriage, and what happens when we normalize homosexuality? This is the close of my comments. I apologize for the poor sound quality. This was also aired live on national TV on the Congress channel. In fact, I was told that it was watched in the Russian embassy on the Congress channel because of Russia's interest in these issues and the Russian Orthodox Church having an interest in these issues. And they were pleased to hear an American speak along these lines. And then later I did an interview on a major Christian network that's actually bigger than many of the biggest secular networks in the country. That one goes to five continents talking about these very issues. So it was an extraordinary open door. So the actual quality of what was broadcast out is better than what you'll hear. This was just our own recording through our own device or cell phone, wherever it came from. So I apologize for the lack of quality, but it was heard loud and clear throughout the nation of Peru and among many senior government leaders. Thank you for praying. I'll tell you in a moment how you can stand with us in that regard. But here were my closing comments with Spanish translation.
Do the right thing today.
Haz las cosas correctas hoy.
And your children and your grandchildren will thank you.
Y sus hijos, sus nietos se lo agradecerán.
Set the wrong course for your nation. And one day you will have to apologize to your children and grandchildren. We pray that you will learn from the mistakes we've made in America. We pray that Peru would be a shining light to Latin America and the world. That you will be a people of courage and conviction and family values.
What an opportunity. What an opportunity. All right, I'm going to go to the phones momentarily, but we really need the help of many of you who believe in this broadcast, who appreciate the fact that God's opened doors like this for me. We have many doors that are quite remarkable to really speak the truth in love, and they're set before us left and right, and what we need is your help and support to walk through them. Here, we could not find a publisher in America willing to touch my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, considered too controversial. I knew it was critically important to get it out and that God was going to use it to make an impact. Here, it's been given to some of the top leaders in Peru and some of the most influential educators in Peru. It was given to very influential people in the States in the last few years. You never know the impact it can have. I want to give you a copy of this book as my thank you gift. It's $27.99, 700-page, beautiful hardcover volume, chock full of information, all that you need to understand where things are going, and also have a tone of compassion in the midst of it, in the heart of compassion. If you become a Torchbearer monthly supporter today, can you put aside a dollar a day? Could you maybe skip a cup of Starbucks here or there or something else? Put aside a dollar a day, become a monthly supporter. I want to send you this book as my thank you gift. And then every month we'll send you a new audio message along with give you access to our online classes. And on top of that, discount in our online bookstore. So call right now to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. Become a Torchbearer today. Would you do that? You'll be part of our trip to Peru. 1-800-278-9978 or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I mean, this is just unreal. We've told you for years, friends, that it's not just a matter of recognizing one group's rights. It's a matter of that group wanting to take away your rights. You would think that a St. Patrick's Day parade, yeah, it's a public event, but it's a St. Patrick's Day parade. It's not a Halloween parade. It's not a gay pride event. It is St. Patrick's Day parade, as in St. Patrick, as in a Catholic parade. Although St. Patrick belongs to more than just Catholics, but it's Catholic-oriented, pro-family event under heavy attack in different parts of the country. The event in Boston, yesterday, the event taking place in New York. Why? Because in some of these parades, they've said no to having openly gay groups march. Because it's a St. Patrick's Day parade. 866-348-7884. So Guinness beer, which does not personally affect me since I haven't had liquor in 42 plus years, but Guinness beer has dropped its sponsorship of, as it's billed on GLAAD's website, the anti-LGBT New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade. Yes, Guinness announced that the beer company would drop its sponsorship of the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade due to the parade's discriminatory rule that prohibits LGBT families and organizations from participating. You know, Matt, we need to try to encourage folks in different cities to see what would happen in the midst of a gay pride event if Christian groups were allowed to march, have floats, banners with scripture verses, just, you know, preaching the gospel, speaking the truth, but also saying God has a better way than homosexuality. I wonder if they'd be allowed to march in the midst of these, or does discrimination only go one way these days? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones, which are wide open to you today, starting with Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Well, good afternoon again, Mr. Brown. Dr. Brown, I apologize.
Oh, that's fine.
We spoke once before, and it was on this exact same topic. I just wanted to, you actually hit the answer before I could even get the question asked, which was, what do you think? Is going to be the ultimate reaction of the LGBT community when they come up on the steps of any one church organization and the church openly in front of cameras denies them access. Because at this point, we know within the Christian faith, we would never deny anyone entrance into a house of God, a house of prayer, a house of worship. But with tactics such as these on today, with the St. Patrick's Day Parade, what do you think would be the ultimate reaction?
Yeah.
And again, like, go ahead.
Yeah, in short, as I've said for quite a few years now, those who came out of the closet fighting for what they feel are their rights, fighting for what they feel is equality, those who come out of the closet ultimately want to put us in the closet. Those who did not have what they felt were equal rights want to take away our rights to differ. So what would that mean? Ultimately, it would mean that if you say, I cannot officiate at a same-sex wedding ceremony, or we have certain standards for hiring, and if you are openly practicing homosexual, you can't be a youth pastor in our church, etc. Then ultimately what that would mean would be taking away of our tax-exempt status, losing our religious rights and freedoms, and perhaps one day, even going as far as saying that we would be considered in the same class as, you know, Ku Klux Klan and others like that, and maybe even prosecuted further by law. Look, we've already had businesses that have gone out of business because they would not accommodate a same-sex wedding ceremony. We're not talking about serving individuals. We're not talking about opening our doors that anyone is welcome to come and hear the gospel, and anyone is welcome to come and work through struggles and issues and come in as a fallen person and get help from other people who've come in as fallen people. But we're talking about if we do not agree with, if we do not support, if we do not advocate, what could happen? And I just want to say to every pastor, leader, Christian, believer listening to me, don't stick your head in the sand and think this is going away, because this is life and death to those in the gay and lesbian side. In other words, this is their life. This is not just a side issue. For them, this is equality. This is their life. That's one thing. The other thing is this, that with all of the advances that have been made through gay activism, and as pervasive as things are in the media and in the schools, even if we're able to hold the line in certain ways, that's not going to turn the tide back. So this is not going away. And this is why believers need to get backbones of courage and quit playing games with this compromised, watered-down Christianity that just tries to make people feel comfortable. No, it's time to take a stand in love, regardless of cost or consequence.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. That's exactly where I stand. I am currently having a debate with some venture capitalists because I refuse to take the 501c3 status. I just refuse to take it because I see the tide going that way. Not that I would not ever turn away a brother or sister because I know what the gospel says, but as far as separation of church and state, this America is slowly becoming the breeding ground for the example of what the future will be like for them that turn against popularity instead of turning against Christ.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brian, and I appreciate your heart and stand there. Listen, friends, I want to say this yet again. I'm going to get to everybody's phone calls. We've got plenty of time to take your calls, so be patient, and you will be blessed, I trust, with what you hear, what you share, and all of you calling with the contributions you have to make. But I want to make this as clear as I can. It's not just going to be that one day. It's like there was a storm coming and then change in weather patterns and it didn't happen. No. This is the reality. And I want to say this again. It's not because gay and lesbian activists are all of them God haters to the core of their being and Christianity haters, and they want to eradicate the Bible. Some of them claim to be people of faith. I'd say obviously they're quite misguided in their understanding of Scripture. But here's the fact. This to them, some are God haters, some are Christianity haters, some are Bible haters, and aside from just human beings outside of God being God haters. I'm not making that larger theological statement. This for them is a matter of life and death. For many Christians, it's a side issue they'd rather not get involved with. Well, who's going to win? Who's going to win? We need to understand this about our kids and our grandkids. Would you say to me in a tangible way, Mike, we want to partner with you? Because, friends, I'm on the front lines. We are going for it. We have workers preaching the gospel around the world. We are doing Jewish ministry day and night, and we are seeking to awaken the church in America day and night. But it's a partnership, and I want to invite you to be a partner. Become a monthly supporter today, and I'll send you, as my special welcome gift, a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. So go to my website right now, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Go there, click on donate, or go to my website. Excuse me, I said that. Call us, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Joey, I want you to cue up clip number... Is it clip number one? Just got my stack of pages here. Yeah. Clip number one. This was towards the beginning of the Steve Hill Memorial Service, and Steve is passing as he was for the lost. Also was a lot of fun and really lived his life. This is going to tie in with something you'll hear from me in the next segment. By the way, if you'd like to get out on the broadcast and ask any question you want, anything under the sun you want to ask me, 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. The audio of this is not perfect, but I believe you'll hear what Steve has to say.
There's every now and then something comes along that just totally changes my life. And today I heard a quote, and it's changed my life so much I can't remember it. But my secretary is standing close by here, and she's going to give it to me. And so as she gives it to me, I'm going to give it to you. And you're going to have to brace yourself, because this forever, you'll never be the same. Give it to me, Ronnie.
Fat people
are harder
to kidnap.
Okay, now, you hide that in your heart. Okay, chew on it. Okay, digest it. It'll you'll never be the same again, especially if you're a kidnapper.
Steve, I mean, it brought a lot of joy in life. That was recorded, just by the looks of things, within the last year or two. So the memories were not just of him pleading for the lost, but also of him being Steve and bringing a smile to everybody's face. Again, tomorrow I have a very important announcement for you, my radio listeners. No hype, I'm serious. It's a very important announcement, so please do your best to catch the broadcast. That quote from Steve will tie in with some comments of mine you'll hear when we come back. Let's go to the phones in Queens, New York. Romero, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. It's not Romero, it's actually Romel.
Ah, Dwight. All right, let's just tell Dwight that Romero is different than Romel. All right, Dwight is really good. He rarely gets a typo, so I don't get to get on him much, but we got it fixed, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, great. So happy to talk to you. I have a question, and I want to ask the question first, then give you the backdrop of it. So the question is, can someone who is born again, spirit-filled, make a mistake or particularly go against the will of God? And the backdrop of that question is this. My uncle lives in the Caribbean, and he has been trying to get me to get into the spirit realm by looking at some YouTube videos, in particular by T.D. Joshua. I couldn't. I was quite afraid of all this demonic stuff. However, I remember that I had a CD from you called Demons and Angels. Sorry, Angels and Demons, right?
Yep.
And I started listening to it over and over, and it really assimilated me into the idea of looking at these videos. I was blown away, to say the least, to hear Dr. Brown so explicit about exorcism and the spirit realm. And I started looking at the videos. And so we started talking, my uncle and I, we started talking on that topic, and my questions started coming in a flood. He is saying to me that someone who has a spirit is either in the realm of the earthly realm, or they're either in the spirit realm.
Got it. All right. Let me address that when I come back. It's a great question. Thank you.
It It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348. In a moment, I'm going to take you into the memorial service for Steve Hill on Friday night. We've gotten tons and tons of people telling us in person, via email and Facebook and other means, how much they were ministered to by the comments I shared. So I feel it'd be relevant to share them with you as well. But back to Rommel in Queens. So the question would be, is it either or T.B. Joshua in Africa? Is he working miracles by the power of God or by the power of Satan? It has to be one or the other. Let me give you several different possibilities, all right? Number one, everything, of course, has to be judged first and foremost by Scripture. If Scripture doesn't interact with something directly, then we have to use the gift of discernment, if the Lord has given us that, to distinguish between spirits, and then also look at the fruit that's produced. And then we also understand that Satan can't cast out Satan. So one possibility is miracles are being worked by the Holy Spirit, but since the vessel is imperfect, there may be some imperfect or inaccurate teaching or practices. Another possibility is that the miracles are all just like magical tricks. There's nothing really happening, or it's all psychosomatic. Now, watching some of these videos with T.B. Joshua, that seems to be pretty difficult to be psychosomatic or magic tricks, but again, that's a possibility too. The other is that it's purely demonic, in which case it could not be in the name of the Jesus of the Scriptures. So it's very possible that someone can be anointed by the Spirit, Rommel, that someone can be used to work miracles, that someone can be used to set captives free in Jesus' name, drive out demons, and yet that doesn't mean their teaching is perfect, doesn't mean everything they say doctrinally is accurate. Doctrine must be evaluated by Scripture. However, if they are preaching the Jesus of the Scriptures and exalting the Jesus of the Scriptures and miracles are taking place to the glory of God, then Satan would not be the one doing them. But it's not so easily either or, as was suggested to you. And you have to look at the larger questions involved, as I hope you are doing. And by the way, in terms of the ministry there, I've heard people absolutely vouch for the extraordinary miracles taking place and saying it's the gospel. And others say, no, there are all kinds of occult practices going on. I simply do not know. I haven't been there, and I haven't been able to investigate in a way that would satisfy me to say anything. But thank you for the question. All right, before we go back to your calls, I'm going to take you into a few minutes of my speaking in Pensacola, Florida. This was Friday night. It was March 14th, 38th wedding anniversary for Nancy and for me. Also the third anniversary of going on many of these stations where we are across the nation as we did a major national expansion 3 years ago. And also 3 years to the day that A Queer Thing Happened to America was released. And now there is a fourth event of tremendous significance, the memorial service for evangelist Steve Hill. And this is what I had to say. You can watch the entire memorial. Just go to YouTube and search for Steve Hill Memorial Service. So we'll play some of this and a little bit more of it later in the broadcast.
It's an honor to be with all of you. Never thought that the first time in quite a few years back here at Brownsville it would be to speak at Steve's memorial service. But what a life he lived. Jerry, what a joy it's been to know you. I was telling Nancy before, I never once heard a negative word from you all the days I've known you. Your kids, Shelby, Ryan, Kelsey, what an amazing deposit has been made in each of you. You know, Steve really knew how to live. We hear him pouring his heart out night after night here, calling for the lost, and it was incredible how every night we felt it. There was such intensity. We burned with it. We, every last soul pleading, wanting to see them get right with God, feeling the reality of that. And on my radio show Monday, I was going to give a tribute to Steve, and I started by playing a clip from Brownsville with him pleading for souls to come as charity sang Mercy Seat. That was a wrong move on my part because I couldn't talk after I did that, which is not the best thing on radio. But as I've been thinking about Steve, the pain of the loss, and, you know, I'm a man of faith, but sometimes I just kind of stick my head in the sand and think, well, this is just never going to happen. And when we talk on the phone, I said, Steve, there have been so many sons and daughters raised up, and the Lord God's used them around the world, but we don't have anybody to replace you, man. We need you. And I think about the role that he played, and I'd be thinking, okay, I'm not going to get to hear his voice again in this world, but I started thinking about all the fun memories. Mike Brown, he just called you, always up. Mike Brown. I remember the calls I'd get on a regular basis in the midst of the revival. Mike, I've been studying all day. I've been getting ready for the message tonight. Mike, I'm going to preach from Revelation, the 3rd chapter, 20th verse. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Mike, does the Greek word for knock mean knock? Yes, Steve, it means knock. By the way, Pastor Kilpatrick, I'm going to reveal a secret. I didn't even bother to look it up, nor did I know. I just was pretty confident it meant knock. And the props. You know, it dawned on me, he joined me in India one year. These amazing meetings as he came to India. And he preached with a ball and chain. It's about a 40-hour trip to get over there, where we go in India. Who in the world brings a ball and chain on a 40-hour trip to India? One night, the game was that he was preaching with props, and he would hold the prop up, and then I have to identify the scripture verse that tied in with that particular prop. And somehow we were on a roll. We were doing well. And then he held up a brown paper bag. It must have been the revival anointing. That's all I can say. Because I said to myself, there's an axe head in the brown paper bag. Which there was. And I gave him the scripture for the axe head floating. I remember he just looked at me with that little smile. And you know, in these last few years, as he was suffering and unable to do so many of the things he wanted to do, he began to call me. When he wrote the Spiritual Avalanche book, he began to call and said, Mike, what's going on in the church? Mike, what's going on? Everywhere I'm getting calls from pastors and leaders and all the scandals and all the sin and all the compromise and people watering down the message. What's going on? And I said, Steve, I said, it's almost like you're Rip Van Winkle. You were out of commission for a few years and things have really gone down badly. And now he woke up to the reality of it with his heart burning more than ever. And he's not here to run his race. He's not here to call for souls. He's not here to look us in the eyes, those piercing eyes that were always red. He's either crying or sleep deprived. We even had the saying during the revival, sleep is for wimps. Subsequently found out sometimes I'm a wimp. We don't have him here with those burning eyes looking at us, but we're here to run our race, and we're here to make a difference. And, you know, we can spiritualize and, well, you know, it's good that someone's not here. No, it's a loss. And heaven didn't need him because there are no lost people in heaven, although I bet he's giving an altar call somewhere. Just in case.
All right, I'm gonna jump in there, and next hour I want to play a little bit more of those closing comments. Let me encourage you, friends, and we're gonna come back and go right to your calls. Leonard Ravenhill said, 5 minutes inside eternity, and we will wish that we had sacrificed more, wept more, grieved more, loved and prayed more, and given more. C.T. Studd, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I want to encourage you to live your life in a way that is worthy of the gospel. I want to encourage you to live your life in a way that makes sense in light of eternity. If this was just a checkpoint now, stop, everything stop, and you went to stand before God, and he was not condemning, he was not harsh, but he was so overwhelmingly full of truth and love that it absolutely devastated you. And he asked you some questions. Are you ashamed of me? Are you ashamed of my son? Now that you can see the glory of eternity, does the way you're living make sense? If you say, oh, I change everything. Well, you have breath now. Why not change it now? God will give you the grace. God will give you the help. And you can live a life that makes sense in the light of eternity. And it starts with deepening your personal relationship with him in prayer, in the word, in personal holiness, and being a witness to others. Every one of us can do that by the grace and help of God. We'll be right back with your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, over the weekend, the holiday of Purim was celebrated, as described in the book of Esther, Saturday night, March 15th into Sunday, March 16th. And it reminds us of God doing impossible things. It reminds us of God turning history upside down. It reminds us that on the heels of the Holocaust and what looked like the potential extermination of the Jewish people, who would have believed that 3 years later, the end of World War II, there would be a Jewish state, a Jewish homeland established for the first time in almost 2,000 years. I'm a believer because of God. I am a believer because of God. In other words, I have not just decided to have a positive, optimistic outlook. I have not just decided to be upbeat. I'm a believer in the impossible. I'm a believer in things turning around that cannot turn around. I'm a believer in the most unlikely outcomes because of who God is. That's all we need to know, is who he is. When we know that, everything changes. We just put up on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. We put up a link to the complete Steve Hill Memorial Service. You tell me how a widow, deeply, deeply in love with her husband and ministering with him side by side for 34 years, watched him suffer terribly over 6 years, cancer, debilitating, caring for him day and night the last months of his life and so much of the previous 6 years. You tell me how someone can stand up for several hours in front of people full of faith, full of confidence, full of courage, not putting on a show, but knowing that her husband is with the Lord. You tell me how you do this without God. Therefore, I'm full of hope, regardless of what I see in society, regardless of what I see happening in the world around me, because I believe God. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Tyler, Texas. Abe, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown. Hey, I'm thoroughly confused about some stuff, and the way I present my question might prove that. But in Matthew, Jesus, before the cross, he says that I've come only for the lost sheep of Israel, and then later on he said, he says, go into all the nations. And so other than being a new covenant believer, is there another term for someone that believes in the way God reveals himself throughout history in a systematic way? Because I've been accused of being a dispensationalist, and I don't think that's what that really is. But I mean,
if you believe in dispensationalism, in other words, if you agree with that system of thought, that there was the dispensation of innocence before the fall, then the dispensation of conscience, and then dispensation of law, and then dispensation of grace, and then dispensation of kingdom, and that God deals with people in a very distinct way in these different time periods, and in which case you believe in a pre-trib rapture because of this system, then just say, yeah, that would describe accurately what I believe. If you take issue with it, then you describe it differently. Just because I don't see those things marked out as clearly in Scripture, I do see certain things, you know, John 1 and Luke 16, for example, the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus the Messiah, or the law and the prophets were preached until John the Immerser. Since then, the kingdom of God is preached. So I see certain distinctions Scripture makes, but not the detailed ones of dispensationalism. So I don't put myself in any class or category. And if someone says to me, well, you're this or that, normally if I break it down, I show that I'm not that exactly. But if you are, if the shoe fits, wear it. There's no problem with it. In other words, if someone says to me, you're an evangelical, you're a Messianic Jew, or you're a Jesus follower, yes, sir. Yes, I am. Then I just try to define it rightly for them.
Yeah. Well, I just don't believe in the pre-trib, and so I kind of got upset with that labeling, and I really don't understand that whole thing. Maybe you can help me with the understanding of the whole reason that he would say that about only to the lost sheep of Israel.
Right. Well, when Jesus was on the earth, there was a specific mission, and that mission was to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, for example, in Matthew 8, he heals the centurion's servant, and in Matthew 15, he heals the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. So he did reach out at times to Gentiles and make statements, for example, in Matthew 8, that people will come from the east and west and sit at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the children of the king will be on the outside, so that many Gentiles will get in and many Jews will not, without ever disavowing the promises that were previously given. But the dispensationalist viewpoint would be that we're in the church age now, and then it's this church age, this age of grace. It's basically a parenthesis in terms of God dealing with Israel. And then when the church is taken out, God deals with Israel again in a central way, etc. It paints an exaggerated picture and makes an exaggerated distinction between these different peoples. And that's the biggest problem I would have in that respect. Hey, Abe, gotta go, but thanks for the call. Hey, friends, stay right there. When we come back, I'm going to be taking your calls. There's a wide range of subjects that I'm looking at on my screen right now, so I'm eager to take your calls. I want to do that when we come back. 866-34-TRUTH. I quoted this in my message, my 10-minute message for Steve Hill. Friday night, but in case you don't get to hear this quote, it was from C.T. Studd. Let us not glide through this world and then slip quietly into heaven without having blown the trumpet loud and long for our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Let us see to it that the devil will hold a Thanksgiving service in hell when he gets the news of our departure from the field of battle. Are you on the devil's most wanted list? Are you one of those that's making a difference? You ever watch a football game and maybe there's one elite defender and that person gets injured, so the other team goes after that replacement immediately because they know that replacement is not as good as that elite defender? Let your life make a difference. Doesn't have to be known publicly. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. But your life can make a difference. And I want to appeal to you to make a difference with us. I've run into so many people who have thanked me for the statements I made on the Piers Morgan show, have written to me or thanked me face to face. It's part of what I'm called to do, to stand for righteousness, but it's a partnership. It's a joint effort. As you become a torchbearer today, as you become a monthly supporter today, can you put aside a dollar a day to stand with us to make a difference? We want to send you, as a thank you gift, personally autographed copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America with postage over $30 value. And then all of the perks that our torchbearers get every month, the greatest of all being that we're in this together and we're storing up great treasure in heaven. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, it is a day to be courageous. It is a day to be strong. It is a day to be unashamed of Jesus. Where do you stand? It's not every day you have the opportunity to impact a nation, but it happened to me last Thursday in Peru.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This news just in from New York City. Weekend of St. Patrick's Day revelry and tensions over the exclusion of gays in some of the celebrations culminated Monday in New York, where the world's largest parade celebrating Irish heritage. St. Patrick, Irish, yes, Catholic saint, St. Patrick, where the world's largest parade celebrating Irish heritage stepped off without the city's new mayor and Guinness beer amid a dispute over whether participants can carry pro-gay signs. What do you know? 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown, great to be with you today. I want to give you a report about what happened in Peru last week. I want to play some inspirational comments that I was able to make at Steve Hill's memorial service in Pensacola, Florida on Friday night, and take your calls on a wide range of subjects. Because of the change of plans, I flew back literally through the night from Peru Thursday night, leaving there about 1:30 in the morning Eastern Standard Time, so as to arrive back in Charlotte in time to do my radio broadcast. And then the plan was on Friday night to celebrate our 38th anniversary together. But due to the death of my dear friend and colleague Steve Hill a week ago Sunday, I had to change plans to fly into Pensacola, Florida, to be there for Steve Hill's memorial service. Nancy and family drove down from the greater Charlotte area to be part of it together. And that's where we spent our anniversary, in a church that had been mightily touched by revival from 95 to 2000, where literally millions of people were touched by God. That's where we celebrated our anniversary. Actually, we went out afterwards for Whataburger. You don't have this fast food place. Well, it's not always that fast, but it's fast food. We got some burgers and stuff and celebrated our 38th wedding anniversary with family there. So I've got some comments to play for you. And, Paul, I just sent a link earlier, 866-34-TRUTH. Anything in the world you want to talk to me about, because I was not able to take calls on Friday. Anything in the world you want to ask me about, the phone lines are open, and I'll take as many calls as I can in the midst of playing some other audio clips for you and catching up on some news. I have a mega important announcement I'll be making tomorrow on this radio broadcast. No hype. Seriously. No hype. A mega important radio announcement I will be making tomorrow. Don't miss it. If you say, oh, I'm going to be working then, or I won't be able to listen, just go to our website later. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And you'll click on latest audio later tomorrow, and you'll be able to catch the show. Okay, so real quick, St. Patrick's Day, and then immediately back with your calls. The article on AP News says, this is a quote from Roman Catholic Cardinal Timothy Dolan. I know that there are thousands and thousands of gay people marching in this parade. I know it, and I'm glad they are. However, the issue was, is this a day or a parade to celebrate gay activism? The answer is no. I did not advance, I did not give you an advance. yeah, great quote from Rupert Murdoch. He tweeted out, where will this end? Guinness pulls out of religious parade bullied by gay organizations who tried to take it over. Hope all Irish boycott this stuff. I did not announce in advance that I was going to be going down to Peru and speaking to congressional leaders and university chancellors about the consequences of homosexual activism, because I didn't want anything to happen in advance, any type of protest, anything like that. So I didn't even announce it to our students or my home congregation. I just did a very important trip. The most I said to anyone was Latin America. But boy, was it an amazing open door. I'll tell you more about it. Take your call as we come back.
Of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Broadcast turned 59 on Sunday. Was greeted by a surprise party in my office, which is beautifully decorated with happy birthday signs and banners and balloons and some, what was it called? Sinfully chocolate chocolate. No. Sinfully chocolate. Something like that. Is it, why? Could somebody explain that to me? I've asked this before. I haven't gotten an answer. 866-34-TRUTH. Why? We've got some delicious apple pie or apple strudel, tiramisu, and we've got this, you know, this dessert and that dessert, and we've got death by chocolate. Chocolate suicide. Chocolate decadence. Sinfully chocolate. Why is it always the chocolate that's sinful or deadly? Why? Now, I did have some birthday ice cream yesterday from Cold Stone Creamery. That sounded more spiritual. Chocolate devotion. Yeah, that's pretty rich and pretty intense. And no, it cannot have that every day or even every week. 866-34-TRUTH. So I want to tell you what happened in Peru in a moment and then take you into service where I delivered some remarks that I believe will inspire you and challenge you at the Memorial for Steve Hill. If you haven't watched it, if you missed it on God TV or Daystar, the live stream, go to my Facebook page, AskDR Brown, Ask Dr. Brown, and you will be able to see a link to watch the entire service. Right to the phones of Pastor Beach in Boston. Thanks for holding, sir. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yeah, how are you?
Yes, go ahead.
Now, I want to ask two quick questions I want to ask you quickly. In the book of Daniel, the Bible talk about signing a 7-year peace treaty. And I saw a preacher, a prophetic or end time preacher, stating that what this has to do with Israel now open to sign in April. You see any collision with these two?
No, I don't see any coalition right now with what's happened, none whatsoever. If there is to be a very specific 7-year treaty that's signed in the future or that marks a tribulation period or some type of betrayal in the middle of it, we haven't had it happen yet. So I see no connection between that and any recent events in Israel.
Because that's what it was teaching, that when this new... Because you know of Israel is about to sign with, hopefully, we're not sure, with Israel, you know, they're supposed to sign a peace treaty. And so
yeah, I don't see any way that there's no peace treaty anywhere near happening. Nothing even close to happening right now. I don't see that at all. I don't think we're at that point. And what's being offered to Israel is unacceptable. And Palestinians won't even acknowledge a Jewish state. And what's been offered to the Palestinians over and again has been rejected. So I don't see anything. I see pressure from Secretary of State Kerry and President Obama pressuring Israel. But I see no possibility that they're going to step into anything anytime soon.
All right, great. Now, one other thing I'd like to ask. This is maybe a little personal. What's the difference between you and Ankh Anagraph? What's the difference? And I would like to just say, I know Ankh Anagraph thought Steve Hill was a, kind of shaky evangelist. What do you think about that? And what is the difference between you and him, or if you agree with him?
Oh, well, first, Steve Hill's one of the greatest evangelists of this generation, lived a holy life, was a wonderful father and husband, lived what he preached. I stood with him day and night for years and years and years. My son-in-law, Ryan, traveled with him. We know people that have been close to him for decades. He's as real a deal as there came, as we've had. I don't know anyone on the earth that replaces him right now in terms of the calling on his life, in terms of the passion that he carried for the lost and the type of anointing that he carried. Ankh Anagraph had certain issues with Brownsville. Met with us years ago there, sat face-to-face with Steve Hill and John Kilpatrick and me. Ankh and I subsequently became friends, And while we still had differences over those things, Hank did not spend a lot of time bashing Brownsville after that. We have the bigger differences with Hank and I. He's a friend and a coworker. I appreciate so much of what he's done through the years dealing with cults, defending the faith, giving people information to help combat Darwinian evolution, to help stand for the resurrection of Jesus and other things like that. Many fine books he's written and resources his ministry's put out. My deepest difference with Hank right now is over the issue of the modern state of Israel. He does not believe that the modern state of Israel is fulfillment of prophecy. He does not believe that there are national promises that remain for the Jewish people. He would be very much opposing Christian Zionism, and that is very, very wrong to me and an area of profound and deep difference with Hank. With all respect to him as a Christian brother, and I stand side by side with him in so, so many other ways for the gospel. There's far more that unites us than divides us. So thank you, dear brother, for the call. I appreciate it.
Well said. Thank you.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me take one more call, and then I want to give you a Peru update. Rosa in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown. I speak to you, and you're a wonderful person to listen to. I just want to say, it seems that people just seem to forget. This gay movement, okay, they want to be in a Christian Catholic parade. And it has nothing to do with anybody's personal preference. And being gay is really not, I don't see it, and I hope you know, people will see that too. I don't see it as a civil rights movement. Then it's not a race or a creed or a gender. This has to do with somebody's preference. Just like many people have many different preferences. One thing that people also forget right now is that, what about when NAMBLA or pedophiles, which are already starting to make their voice heard, that they want their own rights, that they want the consensual relationships with children to be, in other words, to have the age lowered when a child can give consent to have a relationship. What's going to happen when they want to also have the same right and parade in a Christian, Catholic, movement, such as the same pastor?
Yeah, well, Rosa, let me respond, but first, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that. Number one, most homosexual men and women that you'll speak with will say, I've always felt like this. As long as I can remember, I felt like this. Especially with men, many times with women, there's a more clear recognition of something that happened with sexual abuse or something like that along the way that turned them against men. But in any case, many, many feel, most feel that it's deep-seated. In their mind, they've always been like this. In their mind, this is not what they do, it's who they are. In their mind, it's innate and it's immutable. You're born that way, you can't change. And therefore, it is a fundamental part of who they are, and therefore they should be protected by rights, just like someone is protected by rights because of skin color or ethnicity or gender. The problem is, though, that number one, there's no reputable scientific evidence that someone is born gay. Number two, there's not reputable scientific evidence that it's impossible for everyone to change or anyone to change. More importantly, even if someone was born a certain way, that does not mean they have a right to a behavior associated with that. In other words, if it could be proven that someone is born with a violent gene or a ruthless gene or an adulterous gene, these are all things I discuss in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, that does not in any way justify a behavior. A behavior, acting on attractions, acting on desires, that is certainly a choice. Now, as opposed to pedophiles and the like, on the one hand, every gay man I've ever talked to has said that's wrong, that's abusive, and so on, and has renounced it, and I respect that. At the same time, we do know that there is more intergenerational activity, that you'll have much more with a 30-year-old guy going out with a 15-year-old guy, and that many gay activist leaders actually say that the most important moments for them were with older men when they were boys. So the other thing is that there is increasing scientific argument that pedophilia is innate and immutable. In other words, someone is born this way and can't change. So if someone wants to use the argument, and I have a whole chapter, one whole chapter in my book that deals with this, parallels in the argument, I don't say the actions, but the arguments, parallels in the arguments between gay activists and pedophile activists, and you'll be shocked to read it. And on top of that, the question, is gay the new black, a whole chapter on that. So if someone says, well, if it's innate and immutable, therefore you have a right to act on it. Oh, yeah? Really? Well, is that what you're going to tell someone else whose behavior that we all utterly deplore? So lines need to be drawn that just because someone feels this is who they are and this is who they've always been, it does not, therefore, sanction the actions, the desires, the behaviors. We'll be right back with an update from Peru. You'll be encouraged with what you hear.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast. So I did not want to announce this publicly in advance of the event. I was concerned that something could happen to muddy the waters, that there could be some type of protest. And therefore, I felt it best just to ask people to pray. I flew to Peru last Wednesday, and then Thursday morning with five congressional leaders, all so congressmen, congresswomen in Peru, sitting on the dais with me, all of them with subcommittees under them. I was able to speak for about 45 minutes, maybe 150 to 200 in the audience, some other national leaders there of significance, chancellors of some of the top universities in the nations were there. And along with that, some students were there and other leaders from different parts of the country. I was able to speak at their request for about 45 minutes on the consequences of homosexual activism, making it clear we are not there to demonize anyone, making clear we are not there to incite hatred against anyone. We are simply asking the question of what happens. What happens, in fact, Joey, let's go to clip number 8 instead. What happens when you normalize homosexuality in a society? What happens in children's education? What happens in the law? What happens in terms of even understanding of gender and things like that? And had a Spanish translator with me, had PowerPoint slides so I could show exactly what we were talking about. And we have heard glowing reports about the impact of the talk, the importance of the talk. It's in the context of Peruvians planning to hold a major pro-family march next month. I was told that the team that was there after I left with other leaders from America speaking, I spoke to a standing room only event at an elite university in Peru, met then face-to-face with the university chancellors to whom I had spoken the day before. So just some very, very significant days there that went on national TV, on the Congress channel as well. So the potential impact, absolutely massive. We were told it was watched by Russian leaders in the Russian embassy in Peru who were pleased to hear Americans speaking like this about these moral issues. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll be taking your calls on anything in the world you want to ask me about because I was not able to do that on Friday. And I've got a tremendously important radio announcement to make tomorrow, so please be tuning in and listening. But right now, I want to just give you, we've excerpted out the translation, just you can hear some of my comments. It is a poor audio quality because of the way that it was recorded when it actually went out nationally. It went out at good quality. But here are just some of my comments addressing congressional leaders and university chancellors in Peru this past Thursday.
Newsweek magazine, August of 2010, it asked the question, are we facing a genderless future? A small but growing number of people are rejecting being labeled male or female. The social construct of dividing humans into male and female is oppressive and should be rejected altogether. There are laws that are being passed. Let's say you have a school for little children, and I come to the to the school dressed as a woman, and I'm qualified to teach. You would be required to hire me. What about the confusion of the children?
Those are some of the very real issues we're dealing with, friends. 866-34-TRUTH. And that was quoting from a Newsweek article and then some material excerpted from my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. And by the way, copies of the book, we brought down with us 28 copies to give to some of the key congressional leaders, along with some of the university chancellors and others. What an extraordinary, can I say that again? What an extraordinary opportunity to impact a nation was given to me, and I'm very grateful for those who set it up. And again, very encouraged by the reports that we heard. Listen to this. This is an article by Marley Pierre Louise, or Lewis, February 17th this year on mommyish.com. Successes and mostly failures in gender bending my kid. When I got pregnant, my partner and I knew we wanted to be thoughtful about the ways we helped our kids construct their gender and the way they view gender in general. Whatever sex our baby was born, we had every intention of gender bending the heck out of it. We toyed with the idea of raising a gender neutral child, but between the confusion and protests it would excite in our families and all the extra work it involved, we decided it wasn't for us. What we really wanted was to find ways to equip our future children with the tools to think critically and the ability to change the notions of gender dichotomy that society would inevitably be pitching to them from womb to tomb. Look, I was in the airport in Atlanta, flying back from Pensacola on Saturday, and I noticed that the bathrooms, the men's room, the women's room, they have the little images, little icons, little male figure, little female figure, but the male figures were blue and the female figures were pink. That's blatant gender stereotyping. That's bigoted gender stereotyping. You don't want to do that. Trust me. I expect at some point there's going to be a protest about that, that somebody is going to be offended by the gender stereotyping of bathrooms with blue and pink, let alone just the men and women. I mean, we're hearing from that. So this article, I plan to balance out all the blues and greens with lots of pinks and purples and was ready to go to war with anyone who had a problem with it. So they had a boy, but they're going to dress him also in pinks and purples. But even as a progressive parent, these binaries are still hardwired within me and they required some serious unlearning. So she's struggling. She with a lesbian partner, struggling about raising a son to try to raise the kid to be boy, girl, whatever. Part of it was just made me uncomfortable in public. Once I stopped feeling guilty about being brainwashed, I realized that gender bending doesn't have to be about making my boy dress like a girl, but more about keeping his gender identity and worldview fluid and free of restrictions. I can read more of this article, but I won't. Listen, we hear from you constantly. I'm flying back from Peru, talking to a gentleman from Atlanta, a businessman. I told him what I was doing in Peru, and he said, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Somebody's got to do it. Thank you. He was Methodist. He said he pulled his kids out of public school years ago because of the junk that they were getting there. And he said again, thank you. Before we, you know, turned in to try to sleep through the night flying back, thank you for what you're doing. And I got his card to send him a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. I would like to enlist you today as a torchbearer. I would like to enlist you today as one of our monthly supporters, part of our spiritual family and world-changing army, a card-carrying Jesus revolutionary. Put aside a dollar a day. Stand with us for $30 or more per month. I want to send you as my thank you gift a copy, signed copy, personally signed copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America with postage over $30 value. You'll find it to be a treasure of important information. Every month you get a new message from me, a new audio message. You have perpetual free access to our online classes and a 15% discount in our online bookstore and the privilege of knowing that together we're making a difference around the world. But I need your help, so call now, 1-800-278-9978. Come on, be a card-carrying Jesus revolutionary. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate. Become a monthly supporter today. Back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I'm looking at some really powerful quotes. And if you have not been impacted by these in the last few days, or if you're not looking right now at a picture that was taken earlier today's surprise birthday party at my office, then that means you're not connected with me on Facebook or Twitter. So how do you fix that? Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Go there and just click on the Facebook icon, connect with me there, then the Twitter icon if you'd like to follow that as well. YouTube icon to subscribe to our YouTube videos. We post a few new ones each week. And really important, really, really, really important, click on the email icon. Give us your name and your email address so that we can write to you and link you to what we're doing and bring you into key announcements and constantly tell you about free resource offers and things like that. All right? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348, the number to call. I'm looking at an image of a tombstone, and it says, "Here lies J. Thaddeus, planned to seek Christ at the 11th hour, died at 10:30. Yes, that was posted last night on my Facebook page. Posted this morning was a very important quote from George Orwell, where he said, "During times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act." During times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. There's an amazing picture of a prisoner in the concentration camp holding a gun with a bayonet in the back of a Nazi officer after the liberation of the concentration camp that he was in. And I have a caption saying, "The Book of Esther in Purim today," which was yesterday, "reminds us that God brings about impossible reversals in Jewish history." There is a quote from Dr. Billy Graham: "Our society strives to avoid any possibility of offending anyone except God." That has been viewed since it was posted. When was it posted? It was posted Saturday early afternoon. It's been viewed over 450,000 times on my Facebook page and shared over 6,000 times. So a great place to connect with us. I just want to tell you a bit more about Peru. It's a nation of over 30 million. It has a strong Catholic heritage, a strong heritage of native Indian peoples. In fact, they make up a large percentage of the population. It has pro-life values written into its constitution right from the beginning. And there is an unrelenting assault from gay activists and others and big business, media, wanting to redefine marriage, at least to legalize civil unions. And you know, that's only the starting point, and then to completely redefine marriage. What a privilege to be able to address the nation through TV and then a major Christian TV station that's bigger than many of the secular stations on a 45-minute interview. And then that airs in five continents to make it clear we're not here to incite hatred. I made clear that there may be gay and lesbian family members, co-workers, colleagues that are some of the finest people I know in many respects. The question is, when you normalize homosexuality and when you redefine marriage, what are the consequences? And we lay them out. We're not talking about, "I predict in the year 2041 that..." No. We're just saying, here's what's happened. Learn, please learn from our experiences, so that you don't make the same mistakes that we made. And friends, when we talk to you about being your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, we're not just saying words, friends. We're doing it. By God's grace, we're doing it with more and more open doors set before us. All right, we come back, your calls, and we'll take you right into the memorial service. I believe you'll be inspired by my comments that were made there. May your heart be stirred. Let's live lives worthy of the Lord.
Fire we want, for fire we plead.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH. Our phone lines are wide open. I was not able to take calls on Friday. Flying back from Peru, I was originally planning to do the show live and then go out that night with my bride of 38 years and celebrate our anniversary. Instead, we were together in Pensacola, Florida, with other family members, celebrating the life of Steve Hill. Now enjoy the presence of God while we labor on. Please pray for his wife, Jerry, and three kids, that God's grace would really be with them in extraordinary ways. At the beginning of the memorial service, they played a clip from Steve made within the last year or two, where he said he heard a quote that just changed his life, but he forgot it. He was joking around, and then his secretary gave it to him, and the quote was that fat people are harder to kidnap. So that was Steve. I mean, he was passionate and serious and intense, but he could laugh and he could joke. So remember that quote. It ties in with something that I say during my speaking. So I was just making the statement that it's a loss. Steve's passing is a loss. You know, don't give me this line. Well, he was needed in heaven. I said, look, you don't need an evangelist in heaven. You know, there's no lost souls there. I said, although probably Steve was given an altar call for the lost in heaven just in case somebody there wasn't saved. Let's continue with my comments that were made Friday night at the memorial service.
And heaven didn't need him because there are no lost people in heaven. Although I bet he's giving an altar call somewhere just in case. How many meetings were you in, a wedding or something? It's like, you're not going to give him an altar call now, are you? Yeah, I'm giving an altar call, man. But we're here. And, you know, many are watching on TV and internet, and you were touched through his ministry. You were saved through his ministry. You got right with God. And maybe this is the wake-up call to get you burning again. Maybe for some who just kind of got settled in, the fact that he's no longer here, you're starting to count your days. And maybe that's a way that as Steve is no longer with us, his death can be like a seed planted in the ground that bears much lasting fruit. Let it be. We were here today coming over to the service. Nancy and I, by the way, we're even more deeply joined to Steve and Jerry this night. It's our 38th anniversary, and here's how we celebrate it together with our departed brother. We were telling our daughter Meg, son-in-law Ryan, and talking to the grandkids, Ellie and Andrew, and we said, you guys would not be, Ellie and Andrew, you would not exist if not for Steve Hill. Well, how's that? Well, Pastor Kilpatrick and others in the church crying out to God for those years for revival. And then God used Steve. And the years he had sought the Lord and gone after the Lord, God used Steve to ignite the revival. And that's what brought me down here to be part of it and to raise up the school. And then our very first student that registered got the prize of all. He got our younger daughter, Megan. That was Ryan. So they would never have met. They would never have known each other. Our grandkids would not exist if not for your husband, Jerry. And you think right now, as I'm speaking, literally all around the world, in nation after nation after nation, there are people burning bright for Jesus. There are people winning the lost and touching the hurting and touching the poor and touching the dying. And they got saved at this revival. Or they got trained through the ministry school. And that fruit is going on and multiplying. The scripture came to mind to take it, what was said of Abraham, and just apply it. And so from this one man came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. I was looking for a journal entry. I've journaled for many years and have everything on my computer. So I found this one, November 28th, 1997, in the midst of an amazing service. And I just told Steve how proud of him I was. And I was so thankful to God for Pastor Kilpatrick and Lendo Cooley and Brother Richard and the amazing team that was serving here. And Steve turned to me and said, you know, we're going to grow gray together, don't you? We did. In fact, I was a pioneer in that respect. We're going to go gray together. Don't you know that? And I said to him, unless we get martyred. And he smiled back, that was fine with him. Now, I may still get martyred, but based on that extraordinarily profound quote he shared earlier, I've made it harder to get kidnapped. So listen, I just want to close with some quotes. Steve and I connected. Leonard Ravenhill had given him one of my books, and then Steve sent me one of his, and it was all quotes. And it was a book to endorse. And Leonard Ravenhill said to him, Steve, bet everybody in that book is dead. Steve said, yeah, because I don't want anybody to backslide that's in my book. It was Leonard Ravenhill who said, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of the opportunity. And Steve made that famous through the revival. And I read these quotes from C.T. Studd. I said, that's Steve Hill. Some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Come on. C.T. Studd said, let us not glide through this world and then slip quietly into heaven without having blown the trumpet loud and long for our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Let us see to it that the devil will hold a Thanksgiving service in hell when he gets the news of our departure from the field of battle. Come on. And I thought of this. This is Steve Hill tonight. Let the victors, when they come, when the forts of folly fall, find thy body near the wall. This is the first service I remember coming into in my life. And instead of praying, Lord, what I say, what I do, may it be worthy of your name. I said, let it be worthy of the memory of my brother, Steve Hill. Let's live lives that count while we yet have breath. That's the greatest legacy we could leave. God bless you.
Friends, if you go to my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dear Brown, you'll find a link to watch the memorial service completely. And a great quote from Charles Finney, revival comes from heaven when heroic souls enter the conflict, determined to win or die, if need be, to win and die. John Wesley, I judge all things only by the price they shall gain in eternity. R.C. Sproul, right now counts forever. David Brainerd, I love to live on the brink of eternity. Francois Fenelon, in the light of eternity, we shall see what we desired, that what we desired would have been fatal to us, and that what we would have avoided was essential to our well-being. Robert Murray McShane, a believer longs after God to come into his presence, to feel his love, to feel near to him in secret, to feel in the crowd that he is nearer than all the creatures. Ah, dear brethren, have you ever tasted this blessedness? There is greater rest and solace to be found in the presence of God for 1 hour than in an eternity of the presence of man. As we worship together in Brownsville Assembly of God in the church building there, that had seen millions come and be touched in the Brownsville Revival from 1995 to 2000, with the fruit of it continuing with laborers around the world. I was reminded that just being in the presence of God makes all the difference. Being in the presence of God makes all the difference. And friends, that's what matters. That is what matters. Living in his presence, worshiping in his presence, carrying his presence, living out a life consistent with his presence, that's what matters. 866-34-TRUTH. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Ryan in Brighton, Massachusetts. Thank you so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Mike. I was going to say a few things, if you don't mind. The first thing was that comes to mind is we should not be bound to anything but unconditional love, honor, respect, and integrity. Especially to God. We really have to...
In other words, right, so just to understand what you're saying, Ryan, in other words, I can't be bound by human opinion. I can't be bound by earthly possessions. I can't be bound by what the polls say. Right. Yeah, go ahead. Back to you.
Absolutely. Deciphering, discerning, transposing, and literally transcending towards the truth, you know? I feel like we've been contaminated with lies, counterproductivity, deception, and deception that tries to get people to run at the enemy's pace and chase after spiritual poison is how I see it, unfortunately. You know, where some people are unfortunately being rushed to their grave, you know. And the issue that I have is, like, You know, I noticed the media is not very helpful, and I have to say it that way because, you know, it should designate at least, you know, they're so good at telling us, like, everything that's going on, everything that's wrong, all the destruction, all the pain, all the suffering. But I feel like the second half of their program should be designated to, like, ideas and solutions, not, like, fears and delusions, you know.
And how about stories? How about inspirational stories and testimonies and – Right. Why is the news only the bad news? I mean, it's so rare, Ryan. It's a great point. It's so rare that you hear the good, the positive, and the solutions. So it's up to us then to bring them. Let us be a people of testimony. Hey, Ryan, out of time. I wish I had more time, but great call. Great comments. Let's be a people of testimony.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Please tune in tomorrow. I really want to share some things from my heart that I believe are going to stir you, and they'll resonate so many of you. Look, I've had so many people tell me, say when they saw me on this show or most recently on Piers Morgan, that they were literally shouting in their rooms, like, yes, yes, finally. So, I mean, I would say what they wanted to say, but that's part of what God's raised me up to be as a voice. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. I've got a massively important announcement I'm going to be sharing with you as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Henry in Concord, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. First of all, happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you, sir.
My question is, like yourself, I'm a Jewish man, raised in a Jewish family culture, and I came to know the Lord many years ago in an old full gospel church. I've been married now for 26 years, and my wife, one of the best women in the world, and a great example of Christian love, and she comes out of the old holiness background. Well, in the last few years, I've noticed a big change in her about Jewish things, Jewish people, Jewish culture, and it's gotten almost to the place of anger and hatred, to the point that one night I woke up at 2-something in the morning, and she was pouring oil on my head, speaking in tongues, trying to cast the Jew demon out of me. My question is, you know, I don't know where this is all stemming from, how it started. How can I better minister to my wife to let her understand, you know, just because I still identify myself as a Jewish person, no different than a Mexican would still be a Mexican if he got saved, follow the Lord Jesus. What would be the best way? How can I minister to her and show her? You know, I don't know where she's gotten this concept.
Wow. Yeah, and I've never quite heard of an experience like you had, in terms of your wife, your own wife, pouring oil on you in the middle of the night and trying to cast a quote Jew demon out of you. I mean, that's very serious misunderstanding and error on her part. Have you ever asked her where she's coming from in this or why she feels like this? Is it just theology, or did she have a bad experience in her life with other Jewish people?
She's never been around a traditional Jewish community except when we visit family. And even then, she was more inquisitive and understanding. But it wasn't until I realized and I mean no disrespect to anybody, but she was around some Messianic Jews. And, you know, she heard some things, apparently, she said, that really angered her. And I told her, I said, I said, you never heard that from me? I said, you know, I sometimes have to deal with events with Messianic Jews. And I tell her all the time, I said, look, if you got a question, just ask me. But for some reason, it was a Messianic congregation. She's seen some things. She heard some things. And all of a sudden, she got real angry. And she talked to her pastor. And next thing I know is that, you know, it's been anger ever since, and almost to the place of hate. Right now, it's just anger.
All right, and here's what I suggest. Does she read much?
She reads all the time.
All right, Henry, stay right there. I want to send you a copy of my book, Her Hands Are Stained with Blood. It will show her the horrific treatment of Jews in Jesus' name by Christian leaders through the centuries. It will show her some of the beauty of Jewish tradition, and it will show her some of the Jewish roots of the faith. This book has changed many people. This book has changed pastors and leaders who were once maybe not quite where she was, but theologically absolutely in her camp, and now they are ardent supporters of Israel and lovers of the Jewish people. So, Henry, Dwight's going to get your address, and just if you give your wife's name as well, then I'll sign it to you and her. You can say this is a gift from the author, and hopefully she will read it and the Lord will use it. All right, let me try to get one more call. Pep in Davie, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown, and thank you for speaking the truth and love all the time.
You're very welcome.
And my question is, I was at a church, and in their hallway they had pictures of the missionaries, different places, you know, different missionaries that they support. But the thing of it is, in the corner of each picture, they put down a dollar amount of what they're giving. Is that kind of twisted or not?
Well, if they are, what's the setting for this again in terms of where they're showing this?
It's in a hallway of a church, not in the sanctuary. It's in the hallway of a church. And
yeah, listen, a lot of times they just want their people to know, here are the missionaries we support, or here are the people we support, or babies, you know, whatever. And we want you to know what we're doing. It's all a matter of heart motivation. If they are trying to boast, if they're trying to say, look at what we're doing, that would be wrong. If they want their people to know, hey, we are behind these different ones and let's up the giving or whatever. So the outward appearance, you really don't know based on that. It's really.
Okay, but in the scripture it talks about, you know, give in secret, right?
Yeah. So individually, we're called to do that. In other words, individually, we're not supposed to go around boasting about what we're giving. But if a church is saying, here's how we're sponsoring things, you've given us funds, and here's how we are divvying up these funds, here's how we're using them, I'd look at that as different. Okay. Again, it's a matter of motivation.
Do I have time to ask one quick question?
Well, no, I wish we had time, but we're out of time. My apologies, but maybe a few weeks from now we'll be able to take another call. Or you can always write to us at info@askdrbrown.org. Again, that's info@askdrbrown.org. So here I'm looking at a story. What family looks like today? Three partners and kids under one roof. Oh, yeah. Isn't that sweet? The child, our middle daughter, loves to walk up to strangers and say, guess what? My family is cool. I've got two moms and a dad. This is what Necky says with a laugh. And I think that's great from the outset. We've always said if we're going to do this, we have to be completely open. But of course, this is not going away, friends. Stand with us. We're partners. This is a joint effort. It's not just a matter of me speaking out here as a single voice. I'm speaking for you. What we do is listener-sponsored. Please tune in tomorrow. Very important announcement I'll be making, and your hearts will be stirred through the broadcast. Become a partner. Become a co-worker. Hold my hands up so together we can make a difference. If you become a torchbearer today, put aside a dollar a day to stand with us. We'll send you as my thank you gift, A Queer Thing Happened to America, 700-page hardcover, signed to you personally, and then you get all the benefits and perks of our monthly supporters. So call right now. We do need your help, and together we are making a great difference in America, around the world, and the people of Israel. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate, become a monthly supporter. My bottom line today, the hour's late. Time for excuses long past. Come on, live for God. Today is the day.